The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Is repentance required for a person to gain eternal salvation? We're continuing to look at Bob's new book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege. This is Grace in Focus. Thank you for joining us today. Grace in Focus is the radio and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Come check out our website at faithalone.org. There in our store, you can find the book we're talking about this week, The Gospel is Still Under Siege, by Bob Wilkin. That's faithalone.org. And now with our discussion, here's Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
All right, hey, Bob, we're back here talking about your book again, and now we're at
chapter... What book?
The Gospel is Still Under Siege, and you can get that at faithalone.org.
Thank you for that promo, and we're in chapter 8.
Yeah, and now we've come to a topic that is, you know, heavily connected with salvation.
And what would that be?
It's, do you need to repent in order to be saved?
Okay, and this is a topic dear to my heart because I wrote my doctoral dissertation at Dallas Theological Seminary on this exact question, not the kind of question. And I wrote that between 1983 and 1985 is when I finished it and got my doctorate. And it was almost 40 years before I wrote a book on this. I wrote a book called Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance. It also comes up, of course, in this book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege. It took me a long time because it's a complicated subject and it's kind of difficult to explain.
Yeah, I think if you were just as a gut reaction, if you'd like take a poll, what must I do to be saved? And let's say we're playing Family Feud, I would think repentance must be one of the top two or three answers.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
I've heard so many pastors, especially in Southern Baptist churches, they will say, the only thing you need to do to be saved is to believe in Jesus Christ. So if you repent of your sins and believe in Jesus, you'll be saved.
Yeah.
And they turn right around after saying the only thing you need to do, then they say, so repent and believe.
Yeah. And what do people mean by repent?
Okay, so there's two different views of what repentance is. One view of repentance is the view held by most people that repentance is turning from sins. It's not just a decision to turn from sins, but it's a decision that's followed up by actually turning from my sins. For example, an example that the Lord Jesus Christ uses is the Ninevites, and he says they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Well, if you go back to Jonah chapter 3, we're told in verse 10 that they turned from their wicked ways. So their repentance was they put on sackcloth and ashes, and they prayed to the God of Israel. The sackcloth and ashes in the Old Testament were associated with repentance. That wasn't exactly repentance, but that was something that was tied to it in that this was part of your prayer and supplication to God, your indication that you're doing something. And what they did is they turned from their wicked ways. And so most people in Christianity would say, let's say, for example, that somebody is a person that's sleeping around a lot, and they're going to repent. Well, it wouldn't be enough for them to say, you know what, I'm not going to sleep with a different person each night or two or three times a week. I'm just going to wait until I get married. But yet they keep doing it. That wouldn't be repentance. Repentance, most people would say, is you decided to do it and you stop doing it. Mm-hmm. So that would be repentance. Like the Ninevites actually stopped their evil ways, and that was repentance. The other view of repentance is that repentance is a change of mind. This was actually the view I argued in my dissertation. I later changed my mind about the change of mind view. But according to this view, repentance always has a mental component, which I would agree. And I argued in my dissertation that most of the time in the New Testament, there's 55 uses of the words repent and repentance, metanoia and metanaeo in Greek. And I argued that all but 11 of those, 44 of the 55, meant changing your mind about your sins. And so I said in those 44, turning from sins would be an okay translation, or repentance would be an okay translation. But in the other 11, I thought it should have been translated changing your mind, and I thought the changing of mind was changing your mind about Christ, that you would no longer believe that he's just a good person or that he's just God or just the person who died and rose again, but that he's actually the one who gives salvation to all who believe in him. And that that's what repentance is. It's believing.
Just changing from unbelief to belief?
Right. And so I was arguing that repentance was another name for belief. Now, the problem with that is the 11 passages that I suggested taught that over the course of the next 12 years, by 1997, I was convinced there weren't any verses that said that. And we're going to look either in this episode or the next one, we're going to walk through various passages in the New Testament and talk about these. But most people in Christianity hold the first view, that repentance is turning from sins, not that it's a change of mind about Christ. Now, among the people who say it's a change about Christ, I should mention there are some people in what's called the flexible free grace camp that would say repentance is a change of heart and a change of mind. And when they bring in a change of heart, what they're bringing in is the idea that there's some sort of a decision to turn from your sins, some sort of a desire for moral change.
Yeah, here's one of the quotes from them.
Right.
A non-believer must admit his sin to God, acknowledge he is wrong, and be willing to seek a new way of life.
Okay, now that's a quote from The Gospel is Still Under Siege, and that's from one of the theologians that I quote in the book.
Right, right.
And that person actually happens to call themselves free grace.
They do, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We would call them flexible
yeah.
free grace.
And, but he does say that you need to acknowledge he is wrong, and you need to be willing to seek a new way of life. That sounds like a commitment to change your ways.
Right, and this is a form of the change of mind view, but to me, it's not Chafer's. Lewis Berry Chafer had a change of mind view, and it was basically recognizing I'm a sinner and believing in Jesus,
yeah.
Recognizing he's the one that is the Savior and he saves me.
We will rejoin in just a moment, but years ago, Zane Hodges wrote The Gospel Under Siege. Sadly, this is still true, and GES President Bob Wilkin has recently written its sequel. Bob's new book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege, is a book about theological clarity on the biblical teaching about eternal salvation. It is available now. Secure yours today at the Grace Evangelical Society's bookstore. Find it at faithalone.org/store. That's faithalone.org/store. Now back to today's content.
But most people in Christianity hold the view it's turning from sins. And as you just quoted, some of those who hold the change of mind view more or less take that view.
Right.
Except they stop short of saying you have to turn. You just have to be willing to turn. You have to mm-hmm. desire to turn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That kind of thing.
But that still almost sounds like works to me. If, like, I offer you a free car and I say, but you got to be willing to give up this sinful habit. You got to be
right.
willing to stop lying or stop getting angry.
Right.
That doesn't sound like it's a free car anymore.
Right. Yeah, I would agree with that. And most people, along with this, believe, and this is the part where you're coming in now, most people believe that repentance is a condition for everlasting life.
Yeah.
Even most people in the flexible free grace camp
yeah.
believe that repentance is a condition for everlasting life, regardless of how they define it.
And when, where do you think they get that from?
Well, you know, the 11 verses I had,
yeah.
like, for example, Luke 13:3 and Luke 13:5 are two of the 11 verses. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. I didn't put any thought, really, into the word likewise. I should have, because two examples are given in Luke 13:1-5.
Yeah.
One is Pilate mingling the blood of certain Jews who were offering their sacrifices. He was mingling their blood with the sacrifice. He killed some of the Jews. And he says, you will likewise perish. Well, they were killed physically. Likewise
mm-hmm.
perish means you will physically die prematurely. And then the other example he gives is a tower in Siloam that falls and 18 people get killed. And he says, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Again, that refers, the likewise there refers to dying just like the people who died when the tower fell on them. And what's interesting is many commentators, and I didn't take this into account when I wrote my dissertation, say that Luke 13:3-5 predict 70 AD with the fall of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, and over 1 million Jews were killed as part of the Jewish war. This was a prophecy I believe, by Jesus. He wasn't talking about individual Jews repenting and going to hell. He was talking about if you as a nation do not repent, you as a nation are going to be destroyed. And, of course, it was going to affect over a million of them actually physically likewise dying. And there's 9 other examples. I could go through all of them, and maybe in the next episode we can go through more of them.
You also brought up earlier, Jonah preached the message of repentance. So did those Ninevites have to repent to be saved? Or what was the consequences if they didn't
repent? Yeah, you know, that's kind of funny. They had to repent to be saved from what Jonah was talking about, 40 days, and then comes the judgment. They were going to be physically killed in 40 days. And they had to repent in order to forestall that judgment. And by the way, Jonah didn't say, if you repent, you'll escape. They just repented, hoping that God would be merciful, and he was. But that doesn't mean any of them were born again. Now, hopefully, Jonah preached the Messiah to them, and hopefully some of them came to faith. But being saved from physical death is not the same as being saved from eternal condemnation.
I guess what you're saying is repentance is a requirement to be saved from destruction in this life here and now.
Yeah. In fact, my book, Turn and Live, that's drawn from Ezekiel 18. That's where Ezekiel is saying that Jews had to turn from their wicked ways in order to continue to physically live. Yeah. And he also says the opposite. If a righteous man turns from his righteousness, then he will die. And in the chapter, God does not delight in anyone's death, therefore turn and live. So, yeah, repentance in the Bible is tied with physical life, physical death, with prosperity and blessing, or with curses that would ultimately lead to premature death. But repentance is never a condition of everlasting life.
Yeah, so I guess there's just actually just a relatively few passages which connect repentance to this destruction. But then I guess people are taking that and reinterpreting all these clear passages that you just need to believe to have everlasting life.
Well, the repentance and destruction, if by that you mean the 11 that I had in my dissertation. Yeah, there's 11, but those 11, when you study them, none of them are dealing with everlasting life. And I know we're out of time for now. So in the next show, maybe we can talk about what the Gospel of John says about repentance, what Luke Acts says about repentance, what Paul and the other authors of the epistles say. And we can walk through it and look at this. But what we're going to see is that repentance is not a condition of everlasting life. The only condition is faith in Christ. And if I believe in him, I have everlasting life.
So let's all keep grace in focus.
We invite you to check out our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 5-minute YouTube videos at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. You will love the content and learn a lot. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Please make sure your question is as succinct and clear as possible. That would be a great big help. On our next episode, how do we know that repentance is not a condition of everlasting life? Please join us. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.